Wednesday, January 19th, 2022 meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. May we have a roll call, Amy, please?
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Here.
Director Jeff Lee?
Here.
Chair Linda Austin?
Here. Jeff, would you please lead us with the flag salute?
I would be happy to. If you put your hand over your heart, imagine a flag in the distance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Okay, that will bring us to agenda review. Anything on the agenda anyone wants to move or change? Anything? Okay, then we'll accept the agenda as presented. That brings us to item number four, public comment for items that are not on this evening's agenda. Is there any public comment?
There is no public comment.
All right, thank you. Okay, then we come down to item five. We have the consent agenda. Item number five, the consent agenda. So we have four items on the consent agenda. Is there anything anyone wants to discuss, ask questions about?
No questions.
Okay, then we'll look for a motion. Oh, public comment on the consent agenda?
There is no public comment.
Okay, then bring it back. If there's no discussion, can we get a motion, please?
I'll move that we approve items 5A through 5D as presented in the agenda.
I will second that.
Okay, may we get a roll call, please?
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Jeff Lee?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes. Okay. Down to item six, election of chair and vice chair for the 2022 calendar year. So, Jeremy, is there something?
I can take that. Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. And I would like to ask AGP if you can enable screen sharing for me. I tried to do it and it said it was disabled. Okay, there we go. Should work now. So is everybody seeing the 6A slide?
Yes.
Okay. So this evening we have the election of chair and vice chair for the 2022 calendar year. The recommendation is that the board consider, discuss, and announce the rotation of the chair and vice chair for the 2022 calendar year in accordance with the district bylaws. These are revised bylaws. This is the first year we're using this rotation, as was added to the bylaws last February. And so the rotation is somewhat unique this year in that it's a little bit out of order. So it's somewhat of a true up. The way this was proposed and adopted by council and the board was that with this rotation, Oceano right now reading through this is the chair. And so the hierarchy would be that Grover would become the chair and that the past chair becomes the vice chair. And so it does create a one-year anomaly. I wanted to point out this is what was adopted. I'm not sure it was discussed or realized when we went through this rotation, but it has Director Ray Russom as just the director for two consecutive years. And so that's what I wanted to alert the board to. I'm not aware whether that's an issue for anybody. It's certainly not for staff. So I just wanted to indicate that. And with that, the rotation is established in the bylaws. And so this, I felt like this needed an action item because it is the first time we're doing this. And I'll turn it over to your board if you have questions or want to discuss it.
Okay. So Karen, what do you guys want to do? You want to change it to where Roy Grandy does the vice chair this time. See, I will no longer, we had an election and Karen White's the president now of the OCSD. So she will be sitting on here as Oceano. So her being new, she would be the vice chair, and I don't know if she'd want to do that. So it might be better to have Karen be the vice chair and Karen Ray Russum be the vice chair, and then Karen White be the director.
It doesn't matter to me. Whatever. I take no slight in that. I can be director twice. It's fine. But if that's going to be problematic for Karen White, then it doesn't matter to me. If it does matter to somebody else, then I'll do whatever everybody else wants. I just don't have a dog in the fight. It's fine.
Okay.
So whatever you think, can you text her? Can you ask her what she would want?
Wouldn't care. I mean, she's been on here before and she can handle it.
She'll be fine. I mean,
Think that you have to wait another time. So then we'll just leave it like it is, if that's okay with.
It's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I mean, the only thing that comes with that is she might have to run a meeting here and there. And Karen certainly knows her way around meetings. Yeah, she can do that. So
she can do it.
It's fine.
Fine. Okay.
Yeah. Rather just get it trued up. Like Jeremy said, I don't have any issue with it.
Okay. And Jeremy, it looks like we want to just leave it like it is. So do we vote on this?
We need public comment.
Public comment. Is there any public comment on the election of the chair and vice chair?
I see no hands raised.
Okay.
Then I'll go ahead and make the motion just so that politically it looks like nobody's stepping on me. So nobody makes a mountain out of a molehill. So I will move that we follow staff's recommendation on item 6A.
Okay.
And I'll go ahead and second that.
Okay, a roll call, please, Amy.
Director Karen Ray Russum?
Yes.
Director Jeff Lee?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Okay,
so do we change now? Or do I finish the?
No, actually, our bylaws establish that that on beginning the first day in February is where you're
okay.
In office.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Okay, then we will continue on with our next item, which is consideration of the fiscal year 21-22 first quarter budget adjustment.
Yeah, good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you is consideration of the fiscal year 21-22 first quarter budget adjustment. It's recommended that your board review the recommended clarification to total funding source and total expense and adopt resolution 2022-437, authorizing the budgetary adjustment to reduce both revenues and expenses to $25,446,156. And with that, Amy has a presentation that she's going to give your board.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, board. This is the consideration of fiscal year 2021-2022. First quarter Q1 budget adjustment. It is recommended the board review the recommended clarification to total funding source and total expense and adopt resolution number 2022-437, authorizing the budgetary adjustment to reduce both revenues and expenses to $25,446,156. Executive summary. The district's actual first quarter financial results will be compared to the budgeted target. The target for expenditures is calculated as 1/4 or 25% of the fiscal year 2021-2022 budget and represents the three-month period from July 2021 through September 2021. This staff report provides staff's review to both revenues and expenditures. At the end of the first quarter, fiscal year 21-22, revenues were $5.72 million, or 22% of the budget target. Actual expenditures were $5.85 million, or 23% of the budget target. Correction. Next slide. Staff's review of the budget at Q1 brought to attention an error in the total budgeted amounts in both revenues and expense. The $1,028,644 transfer to Fund 20 was accounted for twice. This error presented a total budget revenue and expense of $26,474,800. Staff has corrected this error, and the new total funding source and total expense has been reduced by $1,028,644 to $25,446,156. This shows a portion of the consolidated budget. Discussion. As part of the Q1 budget review, staff assessed every budgeted line item to determine where revenue and expenditures are projected to exceed the approved budget, or where a surplus may exist at Q1 of fiscal year 21-22. At this time, staff believes there is sufficient budget to finish the year. Revenue. Total district revenue received at the end of the first quarter is $5,723,215. The district has four revenue sources consisting of service charges and fees, interest, brine, and connection fees. Oceano revenue is delayed until October due to timing with property tax payments. A summary of the revenues is shown in this screen. At the end of the first quarter, the unmodified budget shows overall district revenues are 22% collected. Revenues are slightly below 25% first quarter target due to some revenues being received later in the fiscal year, such as Oceano and school revenues. Staff expects to receive 100% of our anticipated 21-22 revenues. Expenditures. Total district expenditures at the end of the first quarter stand at $5,855,069, or 23% of projected expenditures. A large portion of expense is related to the redundancy project, or $4,481,167. There are currently two projects in Expansion Fund 20, the redundancy project and the SCADA upgrade. Large improvement projects not related to expansion are budgeted in Fund 26. A summary of expenditures by fund is detailed in this chart. Accounts exceeding 35%, not requiring adjustment. The review identified four budget categories that expended more than 35% at the end of Q1. Two of these accounts are impacted by large annual lump sum payments. If the annual payments had been broken into quarterly payments, these categories would be under 35% at Q1. The first category was employee benefits and other personnel costs. This category is at 40%, or $217,055, as seen on this consolidated budget. The annual CalPERS UAL retirement payment was paid in full in July. Administrative costs. This category is at 41%, or $89,413, of the budget target. The annual SDRMA auto insurance payment of $56,577 was paid in full in July. Agency billing. This category is at 36%, or $22,132 of the budget target. This account included payments of $11,111 to the City of Arroyo Grande for January through June of the last fiscal year. Staff will continue to monitor this account. Debt service. Debt service payments are made in September and March. Summary. The district's financial status the first quarter is on target. Currently, there are no foreseen needs for budget increases in fiscal year 21-22. The potential risk for budget increases in future quarters would be tied to the construction of the redundancy project or sudden equipment failures. Attached to this report is a resolution, and it is resolution number 2022-437. And it would be amending the fiscal year 21-22 budget at the first quarter. I'm available for any questions.
All right. Thank you very much, Amy. Does anybody have questions?
No questions, just comment.
Okay. Any questions, Director Lee?
Just a quick question. Amy, if you could, the agency billing was the January to June. Was that just a kind of a true up, for lack of a better term, of the agency billings from last year that kind of fell into this fiscal year from last fiscal year?
That is correct. And I figure it'll balance out because of the way the payments are received.
Okay, great. Thank you much. That's the only question I had.
Okay. Director Ray Russell.
Public comment.
Okay. We have any public comment?
There is no public comment.
Okay. Would you like to make your comments?
Well, my only comment was I'm glad this was caught. And I just want to say thanks again to this brilliant board and my compatriots who, when we all came together back in 2018, one of the first things we changed is that we have quarterly reviews of the budget, which wasn't happening prior to at least me coming onto this council or onto this board. And it pays dividends catching these little things as we go. Because by the time we get to the end and we have our audit and we get these wonderful unqualified audits, it's because we've already untangled everything and we've just kept an eye on it. So I just want to say thanks for doing this and I'm really glad. And I would be happy to make a motion when everyone's ready.
Okay, well, I agree with you, Karen. So if you're ready to make a motion, I think we're all ready.
Director Lee, you're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'll make a motion that we adopt resolution number 2022-437, authorizing the budgetary adjustment to reduce both revenues and expenses to $25,446,156.
And I will second that.
Okay. Roll call, Amy, please.
Director Karen Ray Russom.
Yes.
Director Jeff Lee.
Yes.
Director Linda Austin.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Item 6C, adopt a resolution ratifying an emergency expenditure for the repair of the district's hot water boiler.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. The item before you today is to adopt the resolution number 2022-438, ratifying an emergency expenditure for the repair of the district's hot water boiler. Staff's recommendation is that the board of directors adopt resolution number 2022-438, ratifying an emergency expenditure for the repair of the district's hot water boiler. In June 2021, the district contracted with Energy Resources Corporation to perform annual maintenance services to the district's hot water boiler. Following the maintenance service and inspection, it was recommended that the district replace its hot water boiler door due to the deterioration of the interior refractory. The district budgeted for the replacement and installation of the hot water boiler door for fiscal year 2021-22. On January 11th, 2022, while performing boiler door installation services, the service technicians found substantial failures within the boiler. Those failures consisted of internal pressurized heat exchanger corroded beyond repair, extreme deterioration of the boiler door refractory, the boiler door gasket failed, multiple internal water leaks. And if you can see in that picture right there, it shows the interior of, or basically the extent of the failure of the interior of the boiler. With the substantial corrosion and internal water leaks, the boiler was not capable of being returned to service. To avoid a loss of treatment, prevent a potential discharge violation, and protect human health and safety, the district administrator contracted with Energy Resources Corporation for the immediate repair of the hot water boiler in the amount of $86,915. Some fiscal consideration is that there's adequate budget was included in the adopted budget for fiscal year 2021-22 under Fund 26, account number 26-8065. I've attached the quote for their services. And with that, I'm able to answer any questions that the board may have regarding this.
Okay, thank you very much, Michael. Anyone have any questions? Pretty obvious. Yeah, so is there any public comment on this item?
There is no public comment.
Okay. We'll bring it back. We need to, somebody want to make a motion on this item?
I'd be happy to do that, but I just have a quick comment first. And I just want to commend staff for taking the action that they did. Obviously, this was a project that was going to move forward in the normal course of business. And they found a problem and addressed it and did the action that staff is rightly able to do so, and to come back to us with the emergency ratification for those repairs, because obviously the plant would not be operating correctly without this piece of equipment. So with that, I will make a recommendation or a motion that we adopt resolution number 2022-438, ratifying an emergency expenditure for the repair of the district's hot water boiler.
I'll second that.
Okay, Amy, roll call, please.
Director Karen Ray Russom?
Yes.
Director Jeff Lee?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, that brings us to the District Administrator Plant Operator Report.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator, and I just realized I closed my, I'm trying to scroll. Sorry, give me 1 second here. I closed my administrator's report. Michael, do you want to go first? Can you give the plant operations report?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. Yeah. Okay. Okay, you have the pictures. All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. And I'm presenting the plant operations reports. During this reporting period, December 1st through December 30th, the district's facility met its permit limitations as required under the state of California's National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit issued to the district. In the table below, you'll find our monthly plant data this is our data for December 2021. Some operations and maintenance tasks that staff completed. We installed a new district mailbox, troubleshot and cleared polymer blockage, installed new ORP probes for backup chemical injection systems. We performed a hydraulic flush of the fixed film reactor, drained and rinsed chlorine contact tank, troubleshot our digester number 2 sump float controls, unplugged primary clarifier number 1 scum box, Phelons assisted with vacuuming out sumps throughout the treatment plant, service 2 district vehicles, troubleshot and resolved influent pump programmable logic controller failure, troubleshot and resolved chlorine contact tank PLC communication error. We also performed a confined space entry to remove and install a new sump pump. We rinsed old polymer totes and barrels. We thoroughly cleaned up our shop. We troubleshot the digester heat exchanger, digester recirculation pump, and digester solids lines due to digester temperature issues. Maintenance scheduled for January 4th and 5th. Some work orders staff completed. We rinsed all surfaces of clarifiers, test ran emergency generator and emergency bypass pump. Some preventative maintenance was as follows. Our digester vacuum pressure relief valves deragged our primary sludge pumps, our 6-inch whacker trash pump, and our water champ. Some training that operations staff participated in was of the calibration of our disinfection ORP probes, biannual confined space training, and then annual hazards materials, business plan, and spill prevention control and countermeasures. We did have a couple callouts on December 10th and December 11th. Our digester number 2 high-low sump level operation staff responded and inspected the sump and adjusted level controls. For the second call out, again, it was the same one. Operations staff responded and inspected the sump, and we removed our operating floats and found floats impacted by debris. Staff will be replacing these floats once new equipment is received. Just a brief update on our dechlorination system assessment. On December 16th, the district held a kickoff meeting with MKN and Associates. In addition, MKN performed an on-site inspection of the disinfection and dechlorination systems to document the existing equipment, its condition, connectivity, and control. MKN also investigated the physical configuration of the effluent chamber and location of instrumentation. Following the on-site inspection, MKN is preparing a technical memorandum describing the system and provide recommendations for improving control of the dechlorination system. The report will discuss if control improvements alone are recommended or if additional improvements may be warranted. Staff will continue to update the board as this effort continues. And just a brief update on that, we did receive the draft tech memo, and staff has returned comments back to MKN. So we'll be looking for that final draft and hopefully give you guys an update at our meeting in February. And then following that, Jeremy, I don't know if you want to just go to your administrator's report.
We can pause for questions.
Okay.
Any questions for Michael, from anyone? No questions. Just thank you, Michael, for the great job you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll go back to the district administrator and plant operators report.
Okay, so Jeremy Gent, District Administrator, a couple of updates on the redundancy project. So weather continues to be favorable for the construction schedule. Recent rains have not impacted the construction in any meaningful way. As of the 14th, which was last Friday, the project is 355 days complete out of a 900-day schedule. That gives us a current scheduled completion of July 12th, 2023. There's no notable changes to the schedule or budget for the project as of right now. And also on the redundancy project, on the bond funding, staff provided audited financials to Standard & Poor's. This is something we have to do annually because of our bond. So whenever we have our audited financials, we have to provide those back to the investors that are holding the bonds. The Central Coast Blue update, project meetings continue. The project was submitted to the State Revolving Fund for funding in December. So that application did go in. And then as far as district participation, district staff work to provide the project team with post-redundancy project utility conditions here on site. So there is potentially an injection well sited in an unutilized portion of land here on site. And so they wanted to look at what utilities they would have to avoid to try to install that well. So we provided that information. Some miscellaneous items. The staff sampled wastewater for concentrations of COVID-19 virus, and results are expected. We think we'll receive them this week. And I did want to spend a minute on the COVID response. So we started our program back up. Previously, we did, at the beginning of the pandemic, the district did start sampling for COVID, and there was not a lot of interest, and there wasn't very high numbers in the wastewater here locally on the Central Coast. So our district, like Cambria and the city of San Luis, discontinued that program, with leaving really only the city of Paso that I'm aware of that continued to sample throughout. And so they have some very interesting data on this Omicron spike. And as we've transitioned to more COVID in the general population and asymptomatic COVID, wastewater becomes an improved tool at tracking this, because testing no longer is really capturing people that don't have any symptoms because they don't even know to get tested. And so to really understand how much COVID is in your community, we can do this through sampling and testing the wastewater. So our lab has started that sampling up. We will be testing weekly throughout the rest of this Omicron wave, and then we'll shut that down. There is an unbudgeted cost associated with that, but based on the emergency authorization with the COVID pandemic, we are authorized to spend, and it's a nominal amount, but it is unbudgeted. Our testing will be roughly $300 a week to do that. So that's the kind of cost we're talking about. So we will be providing data in the future that shows kind of the trends and estimates where Omicron or COVID in general, they do have the ability to split and see what percentages of which variant exists. So we will be working through that and trying to provide a meaningful presentation to the community at large and sharing that information with the county health department for this area, for our constituents. So with that, that concludes my administrator's report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jeremy. Are there any questions, Jeremy? Jeff, no questions. Is there any public comment on the district report and the plant operations report?
No, there is no public comment.
Okay, thank you.
I have one quick question. Okay. So do we have a need to meet at the beginning of February since we've just met?
So I don't have an urgent need on my administrator's report. If you noticed, I did not have tentative items listed there. We do, I believe, it just came to me. February, we have bylaw review.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I think we will at least have an item to do.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that report, Jeremy. And I'm curious about the COVID numbers. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
I think it's interesting.
Compare it some with what PATH. Yeah. We actually have a very similar volume of wastewater coming through our plant as PASO. Now, their outbreaks were somewhat different if you were tracking it, you know, the slow area and the five cities area versus PASO. And PASO seemed to be a little bit higher throughout the pandemic. But you can see that trend in the Omicron spike in the city of PASO. So it'll be interesting to see what we're looking at.
I'm interested in learning about that. Okay, well, with that, is there any other communications or anything? Someone want to move that we adjourn?
So moved.
All right. Good night. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.